When you're faced with something like a global pandemic, not only do you want to cope with it, but you also want to learn from it. Around the world, there are countless researchers in a range of fields pointing their measuring gear at COVID-19 to see what its impact is on our state of mind, our relationships, decision-making, our work future, and also our buying behaviours. You only have to look at the Daily Finance Report with Alan Kohler to see how crazy our stock market has been over the pandemic, to understand that human response to fear and uncertainty are intrinsically linked to what we purchase and when we purchase. Two words: toilet paper. Supplying our demand for products is called logistics, and just last week, Richard Aidy got his thermals on to check out the logistics of food.
So we, in the warehouse, we're doing all the frozen. So yes, chilled and frozen, majority frozen. In other departments on site, we've got chilled, ambient and frozen as well.
We service the likes of Woolworths, your Coles, IGAs, and then your restaurants, etc. We also deliver into 7-Elevens.
The places we go every day, every week, you guys are part of that.
Correct.
That's part of last week's The Money episode. It's a real beauty, and you can find Richard Aidy and The Money on the ABC Listen app. But today we're going way wider than food. With me is someone who watches these changes in our buying behaviour across all kinds of online and retail outlets, because he stores that behaviour in five huge warehouses. Lee Williams is the 2008 founder of a retail storage company called eStore Logistics, and he got in touch with us last week during our discussion about the future of retail businesses. And Lee, welcome to Life Matters.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you. Lee, just give us a sense of the size of the business you provide to other businesses.
So, Michael, we service over 60 retailers across the country and are fulfilling around 20 or just over 20 million orders per year, from businesses as small as small pure-play online retailers up to Australia's largest online retailers across about 100,000 square metres in Melbourne and Sydney.
Wow. So what kinds of sectors of retail are you a link in the chain for?
So in terms of the businesses we service, they can range from variety stores, which sell millions of different products online, anything as small as, say, an iPhone screen protector that someone may be buying for a couple of dollars, all the way up to huge king-size beds and three-seater couches, which are shipped to people's homes.
Well, Lee, you're in a pretty unique position because you have an overview. You are constantly watching the changes in our buying behaviour, particularly over the last 5 to 6 months. Have you seen big changes over that 6 months? Let's start, back in March. What were you seeing then, for example?
Yeah, there's been a massive shift. So e-commerce in Australia prior to COVID was about 10% penetration of total retail for non-food products. Now, when COVID hit in March, we saw a year-on-year trade increase in a hockey stick type manner through to June and July. So through March, April and May, we saw 30% trade increase, then 73% trade increase in April. And when I say trade increase, I'm talking about the volume of orders that are flowing through our facilities. Through to May, where we saw just under 100% at a 99% increase. And it's really interesting to look at what different product types and sectors have been popular during that time. Firstly, in March and April, when all the big banks and all the big businesses started to work from home, there was a huge uptick in fulfillment for home monitors, keyboards, mice, office chairs. Our warehouses were basically empty of all of those products very quickly.
And then what happened after that?
So after people have decked out their home offices, we saw some other really interesting trends. So when people were stuck inside with not a lot to do within the lockdowns. They started buying cooking products, baking products, home renovation products. So,
well, in fact, your partner, if you don't mind me interrupting there, Lee, your partner latched onto home renovation, and you were telling me before that she's never done that before.
That's right. So we actually had within our own house a wall stripped and repainted, and the two of us are not very handy, but I was even up putting up security cameras and installing, video doorbells, just these sorts of things that, you have in your home.
So back to where you were. You were talking about after that whole sort of office fit out that happened at home in terms of consumer demand, it then moved to the kitchen pretty much.
Yeah, so it moved to the kitchen, lots of people baking, lots of people cooking and spending time with their family. And so lots of those types of products, pots, pans, baking products, tableware, all of those types of products were very hot and selling very fast. And interestingly, one that probably everyone's aware of is fitness goods. So whether that be home gyms with weights or exercise bikes, there's been huge demand with gyms being shut down for consumers wanting to have these items into their homes.
To the point I understand now, Lee, where it's almost impossible to find a pair of dumbbells, which I actually bought myself, because the demand's been huge and overseas suppliers just can't get enough into the country.
Yeah, so there has been a huge demand. Now, if you look at when COVID hit, that was around in China, it really started to have a big effect around Australia Day. And Australia Day was a period, which is Chinese New Year, where all of China shuts down for a week and they have their time off. Now, because that then the lockdown in China were on the back of that, that caused a big supply chain issue of restocking many of these types of products we're talking about. So even today, there's limited supply of sporting goods and weights and that sort of stuff. There's increasing supply of home goods from what we're seeing. So you can now get your baking, your pots and pans, and office chairs are also quite difficult to get hold of.
Okay, so that's still a rarity. But, of course, it makes sense for some of the larger hardware chains, and I imagine the kind of services you provide too, to stay open with a click and collect service, because when you stay as long as people have in their houses for isolation reasons, suddenly they can see everything that needs doing.
That's right. Now, a couple of other interesting observations that we've seen for entrepreneurs who have actually been able to take advantage of this crisis, and it's a terrible crisis of what's happening, but it's also a situation where entrepreneurs have been able to use that crisis to start a business. And one example of that is there's been tradies who work out in gyms and have recognize that these types of gym products have become hard to come by, or the prices have gone up, and these people have been able to rapidly set up online websites, have been manufacturing their own products, and have been setting up supply chains to deliver these to people's homes. And these are businesses that weren't thought of prior to COVID, and there's many different examples like this.
And in the tradie example, Lee, do they have any previous experience in selling online?
No, absolutely not. That these people, they've adapted, they've pivoted, and they've taken advantage of an opportunity when it exists. Another interesting example of a business that we have been working with, they sell homewares into the big box retailers like Meijer and David Jones. And once the demand in those stores decreased, this business had to pivot from only doing a few orders per day online, where typically bulk of their volume was going into big box retailers. And they've pivoted and listed on all the major marketplaces in Australia. There's a whole heap of them that we all know of, like Amazon, Kogan, Catch. And they've gone from 5 to hundreds of orders per day. So their whole business model's changed. And that's all been supported by their ability to adapt with their supply chain and their sales and marketing efforts.
Now, Lee, I understand too that the next wave of demand from us as consumers, and it all makes sense when you reflect back on it, right now we're in the middle of a very intense demand in many parts of the country for PPE. So have you found across your 60 brands that you help sort of logistics with that some of them have just suddenly transformed their output and gone straight to PPE when they weren't even doing that to begin with?
Yeah, it's been really interesting. Prior to March, no one within our logistics business had handled much PPE at all. Since March, it's become a fair part of our business. A lot of our clients, so one example is a client that only sells alcohol and wine. A retailer that sells alcohol and wine online now sells hand sanitizer. We've got various clients, there are various retailers who have taken the same strategy, and many are also offering different masks and those sorts of things. And this is totally different to what their product segment typically was.
Do you think in the way that telehealth has been brought to the fore, almost forced into the spotlight because of the demand and need for it, that the same's going to happen now because of this when it comes to online shopping versus shop front?
Yeah, look, absolutely. E-commerce, the cost of delivery is decreasing as the volume of deliveries in Australia increases. Now, as I mentioned before, Australia is quite far, it's quite immature in the penetration of total retail in comparison to the likes of the UK, which is about 20%. Now, Australian consumers, they buy online for convenience. They buy because they don't have to get in the car to drive to the shopping centre. They then don't have to find a parking spot. They then, once they get to the shopping centre, they don't have to go store to store and deal with pushy sales assistants. By going online, they can very efficiently compare various options and various prices and have that delivered to their home. And there's a lot of people that, I guess, just weren't used to buying online and have been forced into buying online during this lockdown period. And have learnt essentially what that convenience is, and we expect their habits to be changing permanently into the future.
Some big lessons to be learnt there, I guess, for some of those traditional shopfront businesses who were already struggling before pandemic hit in terms of sales. And now, of course, this has pushed us into a whole new area of supply and demand. It's been fascinating, Lee. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. Good to talk to you. Thanks, Michael.